This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
The number one pick in the NHL draft, but the man they can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's
I'm every trash, EMT for short. Wonder if we best, once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is drop time, we provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Ah, wakey, wakey, eggs and bakey.
And welcome aboard.
You're listening to DPHRO and Rothenberg, DNR, the R&R boys, Rick and the Dick Shindley Challenge, Dave Rothenberg.
I don't read.
Call us what you want, but don't call us lazy. We're up every weekday morning, 5 a.m. to 8 a.m. right here on 98.7 ESPN New York. We want to hear from you, so make sure you give us a call. Number, as always, 1-800-919-3776. I'm Rick DiPietro.
I would be a menace as a teenage girl.
He's Dave Rothenberg.
I once played blackjack for 36 straight hours.
We have another great show planned for you today. Yankees take care of their business, complete the sweep of the Texas Rangers. Blue Jays lost to Tampa. Now is the Yankees with a half-game lead for the second wild-card spot, even with Toronto in the loss column. Yankees fans, enjoy your day off tonight because the nine-game sprint to the finish starts Friday in Boston. Mets get Schwarbered. NFL Week 3 kicks off tonight in Houston. Sam Darnold and the Panthers looking to make it 3-0. Yuck. Against Davis Mills and the Texans. Daniel Jones is apparently better than Pat Mahomes and Russell Wilson. And as always on the Thursday at 6:45, we have no observations and did it happen in Florida. But before I hand off the show, I'd like to say good morning to my best friend in the whole wide world.
Oh.
Dave Rothenberg.
Oh. Wow. That was touching. That was long. I enjoyed it. That was well done by you.
Oh, thank you very much, David.
Yeah, very nice. Very nice.
All-inclusive open, really touch on everything.
So Pete, Such, I've overtaken them?
Yeah, you're right there.
Really?
Mount Rushmore of friends.
Really?
Yeah.
That's very nice. I was hoping we would get to this point. I'm taken aback. I'm taken aback.
It happened quicker than I thought it would. I get you all to myself now. You know what I mean? Like, this is just, I get 3 hours of me and you time.
I'm not going to tell you who, but one of the guys behind the glass, either RJ or Raymond, saying, I don't buy it.
Oh, we got bad guys behind the glass. I don't understand.
Saying,
it's got to be Santiago.
I'm not telling you who it is, but I'm just telling you one of the two of those guys, quote, I don't buy it. I mean, you put me in a mood. You're trying to butter me up. I'm feeling great. It's a Thursday. Week 3 of the NFL season starts tonight, and I'm in a good mood to begin with. And now you say that, now I'm on cloud nine, and now one of the guys just says it's not true.
Well, Santiago's been a wet blanket the entire, I mean, ever since his Price is Right debacle. He wants to punch callers in the face.
Price
is hanging
Right,
up on
guy, I'll say minus 299.
That's very good. That's very good. But the beautiful thing about that is, that was fine. But then 30 seconds later, I'm not playing the Price is Right way. So that to me is the best part of the whole thing. He's the Price is Right guy, and then he's not, all within like a 30-second span.
And then he's not, and then the second guess was actually almost worse.
No. The second guess was worse. Because I don't even remember what the numbers were, but for example, I said 100, you said 50, and he said 54. Like, why? Why would you ever do that? It was fundamentally so wrong. And I don't know a lot about a lot. But that was one thing that I know. You go 51. Well, that's what you do. You go 51.
Yeah, he was the equivalent of the New York Mets playing the Price is Right the other day.
Boy, that was they laid over last night, huh?
Ooh. They are not going down with a fight at all.
No. Alonzo said, well, you know, we got 11 games left. We really got to finish strong. Why? Just because we do. Well, they're not. They are not.
No, they're not. That was embarrassing last night. I'd rather not even talk about it because it was that embarrassing. I mean, to the point where they're doing, I mean, you got media guide musings for multiple innings
that,
in the booth.
That is, come on, how funny is that though?
Well, it's hilarious, but I mean, it could be one of the most disrespectful things you can do while your team is playing.
That's how bad they are.
Guide.
That they are so bad that, and that specific game is so unwatchable that the guys, Gary Cohen, Ron Darling, Keith Hernandez, they're just going to read old media guides and just go through. And then in game four of the 2000 LCS, this, and it's funny, but you're right. It's pathetic.
Completely ignoring what's going on the field.
By the way,
they're
speaking
so disgusted
of that,
by it.
Speaking of that, did you see what they put on the Fenway scoreboard when J.D. Davis came to the plate last night?
No, I didn't see it. What they put
God.
Up there?
I mean, not only are the Mets pathetic on the field, they're pathetic off the field. You ready for this?
Yeah,
so you know, it'll have like a stat, like, you know, this guy was All-American in college, or you know, he was, you know, three-time batting champion in the Big 12 or something like that, right?
Yeah, or like congratulations on your divorce.
Right, right. Well, that's just a fan that happened to have that.
Oh, okay.
But it says J.D. Davis, New York Mets, right? First at bat K, hitting .288, five home runs, 23 RBIs on the year. And then it has like a stat about him or a piece of information about him. J.D. Davis is a member of the Mets Cookie Club, a group of teammates that really enjoy eating cookies. Yes. Yes.
I didn't even realize they had a cookie club.
First of all, who doesn't enjoy eating cookies? Do you need to be part of a special club to enjoy eating cookies?
Cookie?
Everybody enjoys cookies.
I want to know who's not in the cookie club.
Right.
I got questions
I don't need
about
to know
that.
Who's in it. I want to know who's not in it.
Yes.
Those are the people that should be outed.
What's on a cookie?
Not I enjoy an Oreo. Who doesn't enjoy a Nilla wafer? Who doesn't enjoy an Oreo? Who doesn't enjoy a cookie?
Give me a little cookie.
You give me a little cookie in the vanilla wafer in that banana pudding.
You think Carlos Carrasco, it's his club?
Maybe Cookie Carrasco started the cookie club. If I gave you a choice, though, Chips Ahoy or Oreo, what are you going with?
Everybody! I think, or well, you know what they have now? These new golden Oreos. Have you seen those?
I have seen those.
Oh, Sherry buys those. It's very difficult to stay away from them.
Well, that's a problem, though. You can't have Oreos in the house. There's no one.
Yeah,
I don't care how much willpower you have. You can't go into a box, into a sleeve of Oreos and just say, I'm going to have a couple Oreos.
No, I can't. So Sundays I take off now, right? Sundays I enjoy. I have a bacon, egg, and cheese
cheat day,
for breakfast. Yeah, it's my cheat day. And then when the Giants lose, then I really will explode with the cheat day. So there's the
I was fat at one point.
There is the golden Oreos, and I must have had, I don't know, 15 to 20 the other day on Sunday.
Yeah, I got no problem with that on a cheat day.
Yeah.
Oh. Treat yourself.
But I pop them in like they're M&Ms. Like, they're so good.
Well, they're small now. I mean, that's the thing, right? I mean, even, like, I can't even tell you the last time. It was probably the last bad game I had, which was quite a few bad games in the NHL. And I would, like you, I destroy myself with fast food. So it was Wendy's and McDonald's. And you get the Big Mac now. Big Mac isn't that big anymore.
No.
As a
I haven't
kid,
had
it felt
Big Mac
big.
In a very long time.
I mean, you know, as a kid, a Big Mac feels like, okay, this is, I mean.
Well, as a kid, when you're little, a Big Mac is big.
Yeah, but the nostalgia of it is, okay, I'm going to get a Big Mac, give me the fries, and then give me a side of nuggets. And now when I'm trying to punish myself, I get the Big Mac, the side of nuggets. It's not enough food.
Really?
It's
not enough
big
punishment
Macs.
For you.
No, exactly right. Now I got all of a sudden, I got to go to Wendy's.
Give me three Big Mac punishments.
Well, see, that's the thing, though. Now, I made that mistake the first time, and I was like, I'm not going to let this happen a second time. Now, I'm going to go to Wendy's and McDonald's. So now I'm going, now you give me, I'm getting a...
You really have problems.
Oh,
huh?
Yeah.
So
well, if I'm going to do it,
will,
I'm doing it
you
big.
You will go Wendy's, you will gorge yourself at Wendy's, and you're in such a way that you want to punish yourself, then you go to a second fast food restaurant?
Yeah, but think about this, though. You have the opportunity, right? I drive right by Wendy's, and then I'm, you know, a couple minutes from McDonald's, so I'm getting the best of both worlds. I mean, you can't beat McDonald's fries. I mean, what are we talking about?
McDonald's
here?
Fries are phenomenal.
Phenomenal.
I mean, I understand eating yourself and punishing yourself, but two separate locations?
Yes. Well, we're talking now because I got to get Dave. I need the chicken sandwich. I get the spicy chicken sandwich from Wendy's. Get the Frosty for dessert. And now McDonald's, I'm going Big Mac. I'm going nuggets. I'm going fries.
It's a lot.
There's a lot of punishment that needs to happen here.
Before we get into the Yankees, you want me to make you feel really old right now? Really old?
Not really. I mean, I already feel really old, but yeah, give it to me.
I think this is one of your idols, Mike Richter, right?
Love Mike Richter.
You love Mike Richter.
Love him.
Guess how old Mike Richter turns today?
50.
55 years old.
55. He looks good for 55.
He looks great for 55, but that's not the point. 55 years old for Mike Richter.
That makes sense. I mean, when I clammed up, when I was supposed to ask Mike Richter a question, and I got like a little schoolgirl and couldn't ask him a question and embarrassed myself. That's about right.
So they said, does anybody have a question? You were just like...
No, they like purposely brought him out. Like, I mean, he was on the bike. They went in and they brought him out because he's such a good dude. And they're like, okay, Rick, he's here. You can ask him your question. And I got clammed right up. Nothing. Not a word.
So they brought him out for you specifically?
Well, they knew. Yeah. I mean, they knew he was my favorite player. Yeah.
But it was just you.
No, he was going to say, I mean, he said they brought him out to say hi to everybody.
Okay.
But they knew that he was my favorite.
They did it for you specifically.
Yeah, and I would be, you know, specifically the one that would want to ask him a question or two, being a goalie and him being my favorite goalie, and nothing.
And how old are you at this point?
Probably 15 or 16, probably 16 years old.
Listen, I don't think that's horrible from you.
No, it's not. But it was, I mean, it's that moment that you want to rise to the occasion.
Of course. But I mean, you're 16. He's your idol. You're nervous. It's a big moment. There's a lot to destroy you over. I don't think that's going to be one of the things I will beat you up over.
No, well, listen, I don't think
you could have offered him a cookie.
Yeah, I could have. I mean, but it was one of those ones where I wanted to show out. I wanted him. Oh, that was a great question, Rick. No, nothing.
Yeah. Boy, you're going to be the next me. And no, he was like, boy, you're very quiet, son.
Yeah, boy, you kind of suck.
Yeah. But he doesn't say, you got me off the bike for that? He's probably walking back, you got me off the bike for that? Watching kids stare
I don't think
at me.
This kid has a future.
Yeah, he's going to be nothing. All right, so the Yankees last night. I got to tell you, win. Sanchez produces coming in the game late. Higashioka early. Catchers were good last night. It's all very difficult for the Yankees, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it has been all season long. But, I mean, that's some of the things that they've struggled with. I mean, you saw it last night until that eighth inning, getting runners home from third. You know, that's what they struggle with. I mean, they get that huge gift of, you know, the walks followed up by the wild pitch to tie that thing up. But, I mean, that's... I thought what was interesting about last night, because again, the bullpen was great again last night,
yep.
Is the
Rangers stink, by the way. Ugh.
No, the Rangers are brutal, yeah. And don't forget Sanchez's throw, too, in the eighth inning.
Yeah.
That was big, too, coming off the bench, making that throw.
And that's after the big hit from Higashioka, too, earlier.
Well, Higashioka was great. And, dude, by the way, I mean, watching him catch how smooth his hands are framing pitches, I know they talk about, like, you know, Sanchez is on one knee to try to improve his framing of pitches. There were a couple pitches last night where... I mean, even at one point, Kay got fooled. He's like, and there's one right down the middle. And then you watch, you're like, no, that wasn't down the middle.
Right.
Higashioka made it look like it was right down the middle. But you saw the emotion after that game last night. And I know they played 20 straight days, but having a win like that now going into Boston, I don't even know if I would want the day off.
Just keep rolling.
I mean, you could tell. Like, they know what's at stake. And they know. I mean, this next nine games is going to be crazy for the Yankees and the Yankees fans.
Well, this is really difficult. I mean, when you look at what they have over the next 11 days, I guess they're off today. They're off Monday, but it's Red Sox for three, and you don't see Sale, which is good. And then it's Blue Jays for three, and then it's Rays for three. And the Rays are going to want to beat you. I mean, you saw what they just did to Toronto. They're going to want to and try to beat you. This is no easy task, but. You know, tonight, hopefully, you have the day off.
Here's the thing, though. Hopefully now they hate the Jays more than they hate you after what happened with the whole Kiermaier situation.
I heard people defending Kiermaier, and I don't know your take on it. I haven't heard it. Come on, give me a break. You can't pick up their like cheat code card and just walk off with it.
Carlin has no problem with it at all.
He's wrong.
See, I think he's wrong, too. I mean, he knows what he did. And they caught you. They asked you for it. I see what you're trying to do. I probably would have done the same thing. Oh, this is laying around. I'd take a quick peek at this. But then they come to get it back. You're like, no, we're not giving it back.
Which is embarrassing, no?
Listen, Tampa, you're too good to kind of get yourself mixed up in this stupidity. He dropped it. You picked it up. Great. Take a peek. They ask for it back. They catch you. I'll give it back. But, I mean, you knew what was going to happen last night. You knew exactly what was going to happen yesterday afternoon.
No, I don't.
That's baseball.
It's a shame to me that the retribution for that is you take a fastball in your back.
Well, there's nothing else you can do, really. I mean, I hate
guess
it.
Not.
I mean, playing baseball, I hate it. Right? I mean, that even happens in men's league baseball. Stuff like that happens, and
they
it sucks.
Throw at you in men's league baseball.
Oh yeah, it gets real. It gets
really.
Chippy. It gets chippy in men's league baseball. Oh yeah,
that's kind of gross.
Guys are competitive, man. This is the thing with men's league sports, hockey. I mean, there's fights in hockey all the time too. Is a lot of the reason why the guys play it is because they're looking for that competition. And they get riled up.
Really?
Riled
up. I didn't like what he did. No, I'm surprised that anybody would defend him. I mean,
see why he did it, though. Yeah, I mean, this is...
Really?
I would have done the same thing. In the heat of the moment, you would have done the same thing.
I don't know
if I would have kept it like that. Like, they came and asked for it, and I'm like, no, you can't have it back.
I mean, you stole it. If $100 fell out of his pocket, would you take that and run off with it?
If $100, no.
All right.
No, just because I know I'm on camera.
Right. I mean, it's not yours. It fell out of his pocket because there was a collision at home plate, and now you just... That was very funny, too. It's like, oh, look at this. Let me take that.
Well, yeah, he was trying to figure out what... He was like, oh, that's what that is.
Yeah.
All right, we'll take that. What's the risk you run, though? I mean, with all these catches wearing the wristbands and everything else.
I get it, but I don't know. I mean, we talk
about...
But
doesn't that drive you crazy about baseball? We're at that point now where everyone, I mean, infielders, outfielders, catchers, pitchers have to have cards in their hats and their wristbands and everything else.
Well, that's how advanced the game is, that you need scouting reports on
everybody. I don't know if that's a good thing. I don't know if it's a good thing either.
But it's not. The point is not whether it's a good thing or not. The point is that you drop something that is yours. This guy knew it was yours and just decided to really, in essence, steal it.
Yeah, but I think it's different, though. I don't think it's as simple as that. Like, dropping money out of your pocket is different. I mean, this is, you know, you're in high school and teacher's walking out, drops the test out of his bag. You're going to give it right back? You're going to take a peek at it?
You're going to take a peek.
Exactly right.
Yeah. I think you're going to take a peek.
Now, if he catches you...
Are you on camera doing that?
Well, no, you're not on camera. That's what makes that whole thing even more interesting, is that they caught him. He's caught on camera, so... You know, the Blue Jays know he has it and he took it.
But then he wouldn't give it back.
No, I know, but I have a hard time one way or the other, just because I know if I'm in that spot, I probably would have done the same thing. I would have picked it up and looked at it for sure. Because you're always
picking
looking for
it
the
up
edge.
And looking at it is one thing. Picking it up and leaving with it and then not returning it is a completely different entity altogether. All right. I mean, that's where we are, though. But the Rays, Blue Jays, that's interesting. Rays, Yankees, that ends the season. So you end the season. I mean, talk about controlling your own destiny. You don't have to worry about anybody. You play well, you're the Yankees, and you will be in the postseason.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts. Peace. Pietro and Rothenberg.
By the way, I found out moments ago, Santiago, very handy.
He could fix a toilet all day yesterday.
Fix a toilet by himself.
It honestly wasn't that hard. It's one of those situations where, you know, where you get really insistent. There's no way in hell I'm calling a plumber and having somebody come in here and I have to pay him money to fix this. I'm doing this myself.
I don't know. I would have been on the phone with the plumber. I see water. Hello?
There are no Sherry Rothenbergs in my household.
They would have called the Coast Guard.
This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
Cher, there's water. The toilet has water on the outside. We need some help here.
On 98.7 ESPN.
All right, the big 6 o'clock hour. Time now for some Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. DHIF and observations, all of it coming your way at 6:45 this morning. That's an RJ Santillo vehicle now, right? You've given that up?
Yeah, I mean, there's only two of us in the show.
Right.
I like hearing him on the air. I think he's good. He's funny.
I think he's very talented.
I think he's great. The more we get RJ and Santi on the air, on the microphones, the better.
I don't know. RJ, yes. The way Raymond acted Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Yeah, but you need a villain.
Yeah, but I don't want Ray's such a good guy. I don't want him to be the villain.
I think he embraces it. I mean, he hung up on Omar. That was like, whoa.
That was jarring, yes.
Jarring. And then he doubles down and says he's going to punch poor nephew Lonnie right in the face.
Right in the face.
Right in the face.
And then says, you know what? If it's not Lonnie, Dave, maybe it'd be you. I'd be happy to punch you in the face. Like, where does all this anger come from with
him? And then we find out how sensitive he is.
Very sensitive.
So now we got to watch ourselves.
And now we find out he can fix toilets.
Then karma caught up with him.
Yeah. Yeah, I worry for
you. You want to act like a jerk.
I worry for
home,
Ray.
Your toilet's broken. And by the way, let me clarify something.
Yeah.
I'm happy that the plumber showed up in an S500. Good for him. My point was, I better get my head on right and start learning to fix toilets, because I don't want to be spending money when the toilet gets clogged up.
Yeah, but here's the thing, and maybe this is where you're different from me. I would never believe I did it properly. Even if I quote, fixed it. I can't fix it at the level a plumber can fix it at. And the last thing I want to do is do patchwork when it comes to To the toilet?
Yeah, water is tough, too. I mean, water in the house, it ruins everything. No, here's the thing, though. I'm not saying, like, you know, if I got water squirting out of the toilet, I'm going to be like, you know what? I'm not calling the plumber. I'm going to figure this thing out. I flush wipes, and sometimes I flush too many wipes. And I was at a spot where, you know, things clogged up.
You don't flush wipes.
I know.
For you to take shots at the plumbing community is just... Whew.
I'm not taking shots. I'm happy. One of my best friends from Winthrop is a tremendous plumber. Makes a ton of money. Does awesome. I give him tons of credit. But in the moment, I'm like, I gotta figure out how to do this and fix it myself because it's going to cost me a ton of money. Like when the plumber shows up in an S500, you're like, this is going to be really expensive.
Yeah. But then you have peace of mind. If he does it, you're like, all right, I don't have to worry about this. If you do it, all of a sudden now that never goes away. You think the toilet can leak and it could be from your mess up with the toilet.
See, I do have anxiety about that.
Yeah.
This is why I have to like check the stove like 600 times. I never feel like when I do it, it's going to be
done properly. Well, of course it's not. And it's no fault of your own.
The other refrigerator in the garage is closed.
You're not going to be able to fix the appliances as well as someone who is trained in that.
See, I wish, here's the thing, though. I wish that when I was in high school, I learned things like that. Rather than, like, some of the classes that I had to take, that I use none of it.
Right,
today,
like Latin.
I use none of it.
Right.
Like Latin. None
you know
of
what?
It.
You know what they should have? You're right. They should have taught us how to, like, balance.
Learn to do things.
Balance the checkbook. You know what? Like, home economics is something they should bring back.
Yeah, like, how about shop class? Like, it'd be nice to know how to change my own oil.
Yeah, I can't
stuff
do that.
Like that.
Change a brake pad? I can't
spark
do that.
Plug something, anything.
Yeah, no, I can't do anything.
And then I talked to Cassie's grandfather, who's like a real man.
Well, because he's a man, and we're not men. No, we're
like,
not
you
men.
Don't change your own oil? I'm like, no, I don't change my own oil. He's like, ugh. He's disgusted with me.
I don't blame him. But you know what? If you and I'm not exaggerating. This is pathetic, and I will share with you, and I probably shouldn't. If you offered me $1 million to change my own oil, I wouldn't even know what to do.
Yeah, but if they offered you $1 million, I'm sure you'd try to figure out how to do it.
I'd try, but I would. I mean, listen, there's a dipstick
you'd make
in there,
worse.
I know. I you know, I don't know what to do.
I'm so jealous of people like that. Maybe that's it. I'm actually jealous. I was jealous of the plumber, and I'm not afraid to admit it. That
because
that
he's a real
handy.
Man.
Yeah, he's a real man. Like any of that stuff. Like my uncle, for example, like he loves Corvettes. So what he'll do is he'll go buy a Corvette. And he'll completely strip it apart and then put it back together, fix everything. And then, like, this dude's cleaning the car with Q-tips, like the air vents with Q-tips. The thing is gorgeous when he's done with it.
These
I would
are real
not
men.
Have one
these
idea.
These are real men. We're not real men. Let's bring on a real
is there man.
Is
there man camp we can go to or something?
We should.
I would go.
We should set that up. We should hold a man camp where you have, like, you know, someone that teaches you about toilets, someone that teaches you about cars. Man camp.
We need a man camp.
You're right. We really
do. I want to fix my toilet. I want all of it. Car, toilet.
Right? Fridge.
Smoke meat. I want to know how to smoke meat.
Yes. I love the idea. We could franchise these things around the country.
Santi, get on that.
Teach men. How about this? Here's our tagline. Man camp. We teach men how to be men.
I'm not even joking. I like it.
It's a great idea.
I smell franchise opportunity.
Because I can't do anything. Cook. Can't cook at all? Now, you can do that.
That's my best attribute. Yeah, cooking.
You should have seen me the other day, and we'll get to the calls in a second. But I made Alex meatballs, like a piece of raisin bread, applesauce, Jell-O.
Ugh.
And I bring it over to him. Well, he likes it. And I bring it over to him. I'm like, look at this. Look what Dad is able to do. He goes, Dad, you heated up meatballs.
Yeah, you didn't even make the meatballs. You just heated them. I'm sure you bought the meatballs, right?
Well, they're frozen meatballs, yeah.
Yeah, but who wants meatballs and raisin toast?
Well, that's what he likes.
Ugh.
I can't judge what he likes. He's
an 11-year-old
boy. What
did you say? Meatballs, raisin toast, and apples?
Applesauce.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. That's a death.
That sounds awful.
Well, that's what he's 11 years old. He enjoys that.
Well, that's because all he has.
I'm basically giving myself a parade. I'm like, Alex, how good is Dad with this? He's like, Dad, you heated up meatballs and you took the cover off the applesauce.
Oh, my God. Poor kid. Poor kid's been beat down to the point where that's what he enjoys.
But that's what he enjoys. That's not me. He has a bizarre palate. He eats a cheese sandwich for lunch every day.
Oh, cheese sandwich is delicious.
Look at you.
I love a cheese and mustard sandwich.
But if I went to man camp, boom, I could make him like a pasta primavera. There's things I could make him now. Make a great mac and cheese, by the way. Darren in Port Washington. Darren, I do. I know just the, you put the milk in, the powdered cheese, all of it. I do it very well. Darren, Port Washington. Good morning, Darren.
Good morning, Buzz. What's up, fellas?
How you doing?
I'm a carpenter, so I get what you guys are saying, and it's pretty funny because, just give you guys a heads up, the best thing to do, YouTube got everything these days. They show you how to do everything. I can actually fix
Darren, you're close to me. Darren, you're close to me. You're in Port Washington. Can we pencil you in as maybe a guest speaker at Man Camp?
Yes, we can. And I'll show you how to press type in on search on YouTube, and then I'll say and press start, and then they'll show you everything you need to do. That's how I learned. It's the easiest way to go.
No, I don't want that. We can have any Shimo teach us how to type in on YouTube. We want you
anytime,
to teach us,
anytime,
Darren.
Anytime
we want you to teach us the basics about carpentry at Man Camp. Would you do that?
Not a problem.
Okay.
And I'll wear my Islander jersey too.
Yes. God. Now there we're talking, go. Darren.
But don't worry, I'm a sad Jets fan too. But I'm not even a Mets fan. But I had to ask Dave something, and is that doesn't the Mets having Sammy around all the time have that feeling of like of the Knicks always having Steve Mills around? It's like, does this guy have something on this dude that he always has to be around, and he clearly doesn't work?
Well, I think they like him, and I think they think he gives kind of a modicum of respect and like legitimacy to the organization. But you want to keep him around as a figurehead, that's fine. But I've had enough of Sandy Alderson in decision making.
Yeah, making
process.
Baseball decisions. He wasn't supposed to make baseball decisions.
Well, because you had two GMs that got hammered here.
Well, I mean, they were looking to hire a president. They couldn't do that. No one wanted the job. Well, they couldn't get the interview. And then, I mean, your GM, that whole nightmare. I mean, he can handle the business stuff, but I mean, this is what happens. I'm telling you, I've seen it. The owner finds Sandy is Steve Cohen's guy. When Steve Cohen was a minority owner, he created a relationship with Sandy,
which is fine.
Baseball guy, and it helps. You're right. As far as him buying the team, because I think there was some trepidation from the other owners that Steve Cohen would come in, start spending crazy and everything else. And the fact that I think he had Sandy Alderson with him kind of put the other owners at ease to vote him in, you know?
Yeah, of course. And I don't have an issue with Sandy per se, but I just don't want him making baseball decisions anymore.
No.
That's a thing of the past. Let's go to Paulie in White Plains. Good morning, Paul.
Hey, it's Paulie Notes over here. So listen, great about the Mets. I want to feed off the Mets thing. The problem that they're going to have is they're going to let the new president fire Rojas instead of Cohen showing some Gallon and setting the tone, like, we don't do the job right, you're not going to have a job. So the Cohen should fire Rojas, if they're going to fire him, obviously.
Oh, he's going to be
comes
fired,
with
yes.
A new slate. Yeah, but Cohen's got to do it. Just
why?
To put guys on edge, like, we don't do our job here, you're gone. You know what I mean? Like, sort of like
yeah,
a
but Paul,
thing.
And, but Paul, here's the other thing, though, Paul. Yep. What Cohen has to do, and it's not easy because a lot of owners buy teams and they want to have, you know, friendly relationships with the players, that has to stop. He cannot. It cannot be where we hire whoever it ends up being.
Definitely.
And the players feel like they have a direct line to the owner. Because that never works.
No, it's awful. Totally agree. But now going to that, it sets the tone, though. Let him do the firing, that he's not all, you know, kissy-kiss to the players. And it sets the tone that everybody has to do their job, or the owner's going to call down. It should be like that instead of directly. He's going to call down to the GM and to the manager and be like, you know, we got to get things together. There's going to be head rolling. Just like George used to do. You got to put pressure on these athletes. Just like little kids now. No second-place trophy. I'm tired of this stuff.
You know, you say like George used to do, and thank you for the call. George Steinbrenner, during the heart of his tenure with the Yankees, did a lot of great things. Also was a disaster in a lot of ways. And, in fact, the Yankees didn't get good until George was suspended. So this idea that you're nostalgic for the way George used to do it, don't be so sure about that. I don't necessarily think
I understand
that's
what he's
exactly
saying, though.
The way to go.
Yeah, but I understand what he's saying because I think, well, first of all, I mean, just the philosophy. I mean, as a Yankees fan, I mean, you can't argue that George's philosophy of you have to spend money to make money. Like, I'm going to dump as much money into the product as I can because if we win, like, people are going to show up and I'll make my money back. Like, I love that. That's exactly what
you want.
Well,
that I think you'll get from Steve Cohen.
I do too, but I think Steve Cohen's in that honeymoon phase where he's, like, all about being buddy-buddy with the players, and I don't think that works. I mean, the reason why Lou Lamoriello works so well is, yeah, he loves his players and everything else, but there's legitimate fear of Lou. Like, if you don't do what you're told to do, there'll be ramifications.
And you know what?
And I don't think that exists right now with the Mets.
Well, it's a shame.
Do you really think it exists with the Mets after all, everything that's happened this season?
No.
You think it exists?
No. No. I think that it's been a disaster year one of Steve Cohen.
It's been a joke, Dave.
I can't even believe that this has happened. Like
go through the list of things that have happened.
Wait, you
go through the list.
The one GM is just a creep.
Your coach was a creep. The coach that Sandy Alderson hired was a creep.
The GM is a creep, right? Then the next GM gets a DUI. The manager stunk. The team's been a disaster. The way they handled Grom, Sandy's too much involved.
The owner can't help himself, and he can't stop tweeting.
Stop!
Someone, the players booing the fans.
Yeah, it's amazing. Someone should tell Steve Cohen you got to stop. Like I know you think it's funny. I know you think it's cute. It's not. If people love this team, right or wrong, makes sense or not, fans love this team. And by you going to Twitter and putting out these weird messages and these, you know, calm yourself down, fans, it makes people angry with you.
Yeah, I don't know why in the midst of one of the more disappointing seasons I can remember as a Mets fan, you want to troll your fan base. It makes no sense to me at all.
And you're giving the finger to the players? I mean, are you kidding me? I mean, to the fans? You got to be kidding me.
You boo the fans. I got Syndergaard telling the media, yeah, I'm not going to throw sliders. So
and
Luis,
the coach has no, the manager
that?
Has no idea about that.
I have no idea. I got no idea.
Nope.
I got Sandy on the field looking for Javi Baez's earring.
That was really. Speaking of that, did you hear what happened to Aaron Jones the other day?
I did.
What a story. Huh?
Hey, shout out to the trainer that spent all that time on the field.
All night long, middle of the night. So I guess he had a necklace, right, that had his dad's ashes in it?
Yep.
And he lost it. And they couldn't find it. And the trainer stayed out literally on Lambeau Field all night long finding that thing.
I think he was up to 145 looking for it.
That's a story.
And he found it.
We need more of that.
Well, I mean, what do you mean? Of course we do. You're supposed to be the guy. You're supposed to bring good segments to the show. That was your job.
All right. You know what? I'm going to take that on.
That's a heartwarming segment.
That's a heartwarming story. How often would you like them? Two a week?
No, I just organic.
Or just organic. If it happens, just bring it to the table.
Bring it to the table.
I'm taking this on as my own. I will give you at least two a week. I'm not going to guarantee anything. I'm just going to say two a week, maybe more, just good, heartwarming stories. Okay?
Yeah, and I also want you in your free time. Let's get this man camp. I love the idea, by the way.
I love it.
From top to bottom, though, I want everything. Everything.
I want someone to teach me about cars, carpentry,
cars for sure.
Toilets, cooking, all that.
We need automotive for sure.
Yep.
We need.
There's got to be a computer day.
Computer day.
Yep.
Relationship day.
Yep.
Cooking day.
Checkbook stuff. How to handle money, that kind of stuff.
Technology day. Technology day.
Absolutely. 100%.
I can't be asking Milo to do things for me on my iPad. I can't do it.
Yeah.
I'm embarrassed.
Sherry, she was in a, and she's good with this stuff, but she somehow had a pinned group text on her phone. You know, I don't even know what that is, right?
It just stays there, I guess. I have no idea how to do that either.
But I guess it's always the top text, right? And she's like, what is this? And Ben's like, give me your phone. 30 seconds. All right, there you go, Mom. Yeah. The kids know more than we do.
Dude, I told you the other day, Milo's 6 years old. I come downstairs, and he's sitting on the couch watching one of his shows, and he's got a waffle on his leg. He's eating a waffle. I said, what are you doing? He's like, oh, you guys, I just figured I'd come down and make myself breakfast.
That's great, though.
Well, no, it's not. I don't want him using the toaster at 6 years old.
I guess that's valid. But what's he going to do with a toaster?
I don't know. Set something on fire, maybe? Burn himself?
I don't know.
Thanks for listening to the DPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
RJ says to me during the break, he says, what is the most manly thing you can do? Rick, I got to be honest, it's not a lot.
It has to be, and I stand by this, it would have to be something in the bedroom.
Very manly in the bedroom. And also, I can barbecue. I'll show you. Want to see it? I can work the grill very well.
Let me be the judge of that. I mean, that's...
I'm telling you.
You say that, but I don't... I mean,
I'm being sincere with you when I tell you I don't do very much well. Why would you not believe that I can barbecue well?
Well, because I have a hard time believing it. I mean, you're heating your kid up. Meatballs, raisin toast, and applesauce.
Well, I didn't heat the raisin toast. That just was room temperature toast. Well, so really, it was raisin bread.
You just gave him raisin bread, no toast?
Well, that's what he wanted.
Just straight raisin bread.
Yeah, right out of the bag, onto the plate, boom.
Oh, my God.
That's what he wanted.
It's almost child abuse.
How is it? Beautiful meatballs. And then I, see, because I'm this kind of dad, like I made a little smiley face with the ketchup on the side. You know, make it cute.
I mean, the kid is traumatized. The fact that that's what he thinks he likes is meatballs just
he's not a good
out of the
eater.
Bag.
That's not because
bread.
Of me. He eats like eight things. He eats pasta with a little butter. He eats grilled cheese. He eats mac and cheese. He eats a cheese sandwich. He eats meatballs, chicken fingers. That's it. He doesn't eat a lot.
Just daring his face off.
He does not eat a lot.
Well, it doesn't sound like he has many options.
He can options. We've tried a million things. Get him sushi.
All right. So here's the thing. What's the specialty on the grill? I mean, if you're such a grill master, what's the specialty on the grill?
Oh, I can make a beautiful steak on the grill. A burger, nice and medium rare. I'm very talented.
How many times do you flip the steak? All right, here's the true test. How many times do you flip the steak?
I will flip it four times.
No.
Yeah, four.
You flip the steak one time.
No.
Yes.
Four flips.
No, you don't do four flips with the steak.
Yeah, because you don't want it to get burned on the outside. So you do four flips.
Well, that's because you're supposed to have a direct heat side of the grill and a indirect side for the grill.
Listen, don't judge my grilling.
I'm just letting you know.
I barbecue like a master.
You want to call yourself a master? Do you know the trick? To tell whether the steak is done?
You or cut how into it's it a little bit.
No, you don't. You never cut into the steak.
Of course you do.
No.
You want to see what color it is in the middle.
Oh, my God.
Cut right into it. See what it looks
you
like.
You never cut right into it. You cook it. You touch it. You press it.
Oh, yeah, touching it. That's a great idea. Put your fingers on a burning hot steak.
No, once you take it off the get, you test it when you touch your finger. And then you can tell whether it's medium rare, medium, whatever it is.
So you're telling me you take a finger, you put it on the steak, and you can tell whether it's medium rare or not?
Yes.
Oh, come on, stop.
I'm telling you right now, it's a trick you do with your hand.
What are you, the steak whisperer? It does not work.
I'm just letting you know.
All right.
You make a fist.
Then you'll be teaching barbecuing at man camp.
All right, look. See my fist on the Zoom?
Yeah. Yep.
You make a fist,
mm-hmm.
And you touch it between your thumb and your pointer finger. You feel that?
Yeah. What do you mean, do I feel it? I don't feel it.
Okay, now you close your fist a little bit. And the tighter that gets, right as you make it a little bit of pressure, and you feel that, you touch the steak, that's close to a medium.
All right. Well, listen, it's a good little trick
test.
There. I appreciate that. Let's go to Chris in Long Beach.
And then you got to let the steak rest. You can't just cut into it.
Cut into it to see what color
no!
it is in the middle. Yes,
you're
that's what you do. Chris
master.
In Long Beach. Good morning, Chris.
Hey, good morning, guys. Big fan. Love the show.
Thank you.
I was just laughing about this, the man camp idea. It sounds like you're describing how to be a grown-up, not how to be a man.
Dave needs help.
Primavera and balance your checkbook?
He doesn't even know. He's never even seen his checkbook, Chris.
No, that's not true. I used to keep a checkbook when I was a single guy, and I'd like, but here's the thing, Chris. Quicken, and we can teach people Quicken. That's something new. That's a great little commodity to be able to use.
Again, it's the idea of construction and how to fix something. You're on track, but then you lost me with making pasta primavera and balancing your checkbook and learning how to use your cell phone. That's just being a grown up, guys.
No,
and
see, I don't agree.
You only flip the steak once.
Thank you, Chris. And you never cut into a steak. You got to let that thing rest.
You never cut into a
never,
steak.
Never.
I'm cutting in. I want to see
you
the part of the
it
steak.
When it's done.
I ain't eating in your house.
I'm
now.
A good one,
there's
thanks.
No chance. You're ruining the steak.
Wouldn't ruin the steak. You'd
let
you
all the
weep
juices
over the
fly
steak.
Out of it. The juices have to redisperse.
Redisperse. You're talking crazy talk. Let's go to Muhammad.
I'm not talking
Hempstead.
Crazy
Muhammad,
talk.
Crazy talk is what you're doing. Muhammad, good morning. You're on 98.7.
Good morning, guys. Hey, Dave, I just wanted to say this one thing. I find it weird you call yourself a grill master and don't know how to press meat to check its temperature.
What, this
well,
is a
because
thing?
It's because the steak doesn't have an anus anymore. That's the only way he knows how to check temperature.
My name is Dave, and I had my temperature taken directly as a child. So, Muhammad, you press into your meat? Is that what you're saying? That's the way you do it, isn't it, Rick? You just press right into the meat?
No, you touch the meat. You don't fondle the meat. You don't stroke the meat. You just touch it.
I am thermometer boy right now. Doesn't make much sense. you cut into the side a little bit. See what it looks like in the middle. Boom.
Where's the ass end of this T-bone? I got to check its temperature.
Let's go to now. This is what I'm comfortable discussing. Frank in West Orange. Frank, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Frank.
Hello.
Frank.
Oh, no.
Put him back on hold. This is a good call. Put him back on hold.
It's
Frank.
A good call. He wasn't there.
Well, he's been waiting.
Well, okay. So if you're on hold for a big company and then they finally pick up the call, do you not talk?
No, I put it on speakerphone just so I don't miss it.
Exactly. And Frank should have done the same.
This is my favorite. How about this? I get a letter from, have you ever got one of these letters from the IRS?
Like, I don't know.
So I got this letter where I have to call the IRS, like some identity thing or whatever it is, just to confirm your identity. So I call, and I'm like, well, whatever it takes. I don't care what the hold time is. Every single time you call, it's like, because of the amount of calls, we're unable to take your call at this time. Please try again tomorrow.
They don't even want your call. There's not even a hold option there, huh?
There's not even an option to wait.
Yeah.
They just kick you right off.
How about when you call a place and they're like, you know, your hold time is approximately 109 minutes. Oh. Like, oh, for God's sakes.
Dude, that's like when we used to have to drive to work in the morning. It was like rush hour. I'd get over the bridge and the sign would be like 88 minutes to get into the city.
Yeah, you want to just drive right off the road. By the way, I'm an elite driver.
I'm an excellent driver.
I would agree with that.
And I'm not even kidding. It's the one thing that I'm way better at than my wife. Like, she's a terrible driver. I'm a great driver.
I can't stand when my wife drives.
My wife is first of all, we'll be 4 miles before the exit. When do I get off? When do I have to get into the right lane? I'm like, would you be quiet,
relax.
Please?
Relax.
I will let you know within a mile of when you have to get into that right lane.
My wife looks like she took a full body blue chew when she drives.
She's just standing.
She's
up
like
straight.
Stiff as a board.
She's got. There's no way she doesn't have two hands on the wheel
every single time.
Every time. Let's go quickly to Ben in New Hyde Park, and then we'll do a little observations and DHIF. Good morning, Ben.
Hey, good morning, guys. Love the show. Huge fan. Listen, love the man camp idea. I got a company called Mobile Man Cave. We would love to sponsor it. I got to figure out how to do that.
Oh, hang on.
Put him on hold.
You have a company called Mobile Man Cave.
Yes, we do. It's ultimate tailgating. We do party and events. We come up with TVs and everything. We show up. We do
goodness.
Tailgates everywhere. It's great.
You don't set up. You don't have do actual man caves where you set someone's house up, do you?
No. We have it all in a trailer. So we pull up to your house and you come out and hang out on the trailer in the man cave.
That's phenomenal.
I like that.
We would love to get you to sponsor man camp. That'd be phenomenal.
Yeah, we got to get
also,
his info once.
I just got engaged. My fiance is a huge Islander fan. Rick, come on, man. I need you to officiate the wedding. What do I got to do?
Oh, my goodness. Now the pressure's on. See, this is Dave. This is what happens.
Do it. I mean, he's so good.
I can imagine.
Ben, yeah, do we
make
it work?
Wife,
Ben.
My wife's
Ben,
wedding.
Give RJ your information, and we'll see if we can make it work.
Oh, let's go. Dave, you're coming, too. You can MC it.
I'll MC it. And welcome, everybody, to Ben and Stephanie's wedding. Let's give them a warm welcome here.
Don't do
and welcome
like
aboard.
That's oh, no. All. Say Monica. I'll be in trouble. Say Monica.
All right, I'll say Monica. Whatever name you want, Ben, I will say. Listen, Santi, don't hang up on him. Let's put him on hold. We'll get his information, and we'll let him sponsor Man Camp. Very nice.
Man Camp thing, I'm telling you right now.
Oh, it's going to take off. It is going to. And we can then franchise them. Around the country, we could be teaching people how to. We can have men teach men how to be men.
Yeah, but
that's
just think
we'll
about
do.
This too. I mean, think about the possibilities of this too, right? I mean, especially guys at home, you got kids, and I mean, hey, honey, I'm gonna go on vacation with my buddies. She's like, no, you're not going on vacation with your buddies. You're gonna stay with me and take care of the kids. Uh-uh. This is man camp. When I come home, I'll be able to fix things around the house.
She would want you to go.
She
if I said, Cher, for the weekend, I'm going to go to Vegas. She'd be like, over my dead body, you're going to Vegas. If I said, Cher, I'm going to man camp on Long Island, she'd be like, well, what is that? And I explain what it is. She'd drive me there. Poorly, but drive me there.
She would buy it for you as a gift.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Gift certificates to man camp. Love it. All right. Let's go. 1-800-919-3776. That being said, it is time for an observation.
If you say something like this...
That's a clown question, bro.
Or like this...
My best advice to you?
Yeah.
Shut up.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it.
Those are the ramblings of what we refer to as a knob.
Yeah, let's go testy and then knob.
And these are knobservations.
Ben's email, his phone number, we got it all.
Great.
We got it all. It's all happening.
I'm surprised Santa didn't hang right up on
that. Yeah, by the way, not only sponsored Man Camp. I mean, one of the best times we had was that Mets tailgate. Now, all of a sudden, we got it. Ben shows up with the trailer with the TVs and everything else for the tailgate.
Oh, how good would that be?
And by the way, I was never going to hang up on him. He was actually useful.
Wow, actually
useful.
Oh my.
Wow.
All righty. So how about this? Observations has a sponsor brought to you by Fidelis Care. Fidelis
Look
Care.
At us. Yeah, what is happening here?
It's all happening. All
it's
right.
Like Big Boy Radio.
And, that's actually a worse shot than what Ray did. You just got to understand it. So Aaron Rodgers. He kind of strikes me as the kind of guy that you knew in high school that talks about how much they hate drama, but they love it. They love the drama. Here was Rodgers on Pat McAfee's show talking about teammates that claim they know him but really don't know him very well at all.
It's absolute horseshit to give a platform to people who have no idea what they're talking about as far as my mental state and, you know, my focus, my work habits. People that have not been around me, they're not in my life. I don't have communication with them or not in the locker room. It's so ridiculous that people get a platform to do this, and it's the same type of people. On the flip side of that, I think in this day and age of media, the things that get the most, it's all about clicks, right, and hits and views, and 1 second counts as a view. So the actually opinions that are garnering the most attention are the most outlandish. So it's not even overreaction Monday or Tuesday anymore. It's overreaction every time a microphone's in your face, every time you have a single shot in the camera and you get to talk to camera. I don't think I need to defend myself from people who aren't worth spending time on, but I'm always going to give a reminder that listen to the source.
God, he makes it so difficult to want him to succeed, doesn't he?
It's tough. I mean, don't forget, too, I mean, one of the guys he's talking about was one of his former teammates.
JerMichael Finley.
But Finley went after him. I don't even blame him for being annoyed at Finley.
Okay, you're annoyed, but then you're trying to discredit the source. He was your teammate.
Right.
Like, I don't know why he decides now he wants to come out and say negative things about you, but, I mean, he's had firsthand experience with you.
Right.
But he's not wrong.
You know what the thing that frustrates me about Aaron Rodgers, and watching him play is a thing of beauty? He's always the victim. It's always somebody that has wronged him.
he's too much like you. That's why you don't like him.
What does that mean? I'm not always the victim.
You're always the victim.
Oh, stop
it. I've never seen a bigger man baby slash victim in my life.
That's why I need the man camp.
That's right. And we have his info.
Toughen you up.
Doc Rivers kind of had a weird day yesterday. So I want to start you back at the end of the NBA playoffs. Doc Rivers, you remember this, asked after the Game 7 elimination to the Hawks about Ben Simmons, whether or not he could be the point guard on a Sixers title team.
Doc, do you think Ben Simmons can still be a point guard for a championship team like the one you guys want to become?
Yeah, David, I don't know that question or the answer to that right now. So I don't know the answer to that.
Okay, so Doc yesterday was on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, which follows us at 8 a.m., and they asked him about that statement, and here's what he said.
That's not what I said, actually. This is when narratives, and this is what makes our jobs hard. I actually said when the guy asked, guys, I'm not answering that stuff right now. I don't even know how to answer that. Oh. So what I was talking about was not answering the question.
Wow.
It had nothing to do with Ben. Yeah, but I said, you know, it's funny, the next day, because my daughter, actually, Callie, called me and said, hey, you better clean that up. I know exactly what you were saying, but they're going on with a different narrative. So the next day, I did an impromptu press conference and said it again. I said, guys, for whoever's running this narrative, you know that's not what I was saying. Ben knows that, Rich Paul knows that, but, you know, it's amazing how it gets started and it just takes a life of its own.
I got to tell you, I don't think Ben knows that. Ben wants out.
I mean, what is he doing here, though? Why not just own it? Say, you know what? I was so heated in the moment that I said something I probably shouldn't have said. Or, you know what? I believe it. But we're going to blame the media for misquote. We hear you say exactly what you're denying that you said.
Yeah, but he's doing exactly what he was criticizing is exactly what he's doing right now. I mean, he's creating the narrative that the Sixers want Ben back. And it's going to be Ben that chooses to force his way out.
That's a good point, because real quick, he did go on to say this with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, too, when asked, can Ben be the point guard of a Sixers title team?
Yeah, he can all day. He just does so many things, man, that, you know, it's funny. You guys heard me all year fighting for the kid.
Yeah, sounded like it. And I like Doc. I do. It was a weird day yesterday.
Quick little piece of trivia here. His real first name is?
I've heard Glenn. Is Glenn true?
Glenn would be correct.
Santiago knew. I did not.
That's right. And he went to school where?
Missouri.
Marquette.
Oh, all right.
All right, Missouri. Yeah.
All right. So if you guys were watching on Monday night the Manning Megacast. Peyton and Eli. Gronk was a guest, and they got wind that Cam Brate, another Bucks tight end, said that Gronk doesn't watch film. So Gronk was asked about that.
He goes, "Do you ever watch film?" And I said, "No, I don't. I just run by guys. If I'm feeling good, I'm feeling good." So I don't know how to answer that. I don't watch film, but I do watch film when the team is showing it. So, and every once in a while, I watch games like right now and study them.
So he watches games. And then his head coach was at the podium yesterday, jokingly said, "I'm going to have to take away his veteran days off because he doesn't watch film."
Well, he actually came back and said he watches so much film that his girlfriend throws stuff
bleep
at him.
Yeah,
bleep at him. Oh.
He did say that.
I don't know. Can I add a knob quick, RJ? How many more knobs do you have?
I had one more, but go ahead.
All right. Did you see, Dave? So they have a Twitter account that scores umpires.
Yes, I follow that.
Okay. Did you see? Actually. Did you see Angel Hernandez's grade?
No.
From Tuesday night?
No. What did he get?
He called 158 of 182 taken pitches correctly. So he missed 27.
Wow.
27 calls. The worst being a pitch that missed by 5 inches.
Five. That's a big margin.
Yes.
Now, here's I have a question about the math though. 158 of 82 should not be 27.
What do you mean?
Well, you said he called 158 of 182 correctly, and then you said he missed 27.
That'd be 24.
Well, that's 24. No, so one metric was 27, one metric was 24.
Oh, okay. All right.
The one I'm going with is 27.
All right. I just want to be accurate.
I hate
math.
2 days
in a row. Math this early in the morning, not my strong suit.
While you're talking about referees, I take you to Ohio quickly. The high school football scene, there's a guy named Keith Dalton. He's an official. He made a call that one of the assistants on Grove City, who's one of the teams playing, did not like. Coach goes onto the field, berates the official, unsportsmanlike. Bang, penalty. Okay, I think we're done. No, we're not. After the game, they lose. Officiating crew inside the locker room getting ready to leave. Door locked from the outside, and a vending machine is put in the door path.
Oh, no.
So Keith Dalton said, "We had to push the door open, three of us, to get the door wedged out so we could get out. We have now filed charges against Grove City."
He tried to lock them in and murder them.
I don't know about the second part, but the first part he was successful at, at least temporarily.
He tried to lock them in the room.
Tried to lock them in and murder
Matt
them.
Hughes can't leave.
What's wrong with you?
Oh, great movie. Great movie.
Right?
Alrighty. Right?
A man's naked behavior outside of his South Florida home, all caught on camera.
Caught on camera in Florida.
Did it happen in Florida?
That was a man in swim trunks who appeared to fall out of the sky.
The man was arrested for riding his bicycle on the front lawn of a Naples home and telling a woman inside he was an FBI agent.
What's the deal, man? Why are you naked?
Why were you naked? We'll never know. Alrighty, so this one, this was actually found by Ray. I want to give him credit. Answers a question that we talked about a couple of months ago. So a woman suspected of driving under the influence, taken into custody, apparently after her Tesla was in self-driving mode, or autopilot mode, as they call it. The Tesla hit a roadside wall on the freeway, alerting patrol officers that, you know, something's wrong here. So they pull up on the vehicle, and they try to pull the Tesla over, to which they were unsuccessful. I don't know how she didn't wake up, but, you know, alcohol. So driver's unconscious. They finally get the car stopped, and they speak to 31-year-old Carla Villanueva, who was sleeping. They arrest her on suspicion of DUI. That all is to say, Dave, a reinforcement in case you forgot. It is illegal to drink and drive. It is also illegal to drink and self-drive. So I ask you, did this happen in Florida?
Did it? It sounds like Florida.
I don't know, Tesla.
I'm gonna say, yeah.
It's a good story too, RJ, because you answered the question. You can't just let the car drive itself.
No,
you have a couple of cocktails and then just let the car drive itself.
I'm gonna say, not Florida.
All right,
yeah,
Rick?
I agree, not Florida.
You can't ask Santa.
No,
story.
That's well done by both of you. That happened in California. California. And that does it for and that does it for an Observations in DHIF brought to you by Fidelis Care. Fidelis Care community offices are open and can help you with all your health insurance needs. Visit FideliCare.org/offices to learn more.
Thanks for listening to the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
make others better at man camp.
Well, let's focus on making you better. How about that?
I like myself, though. I'm a pretty good version of me right now.
You really like yourself a lot. Maybe too much. Some would say
what do you
too
mean?
Much.
I think I'm a good
person. I smashed the treadmill through the blind, through the window.
I think I'm a good person.
No, I don't disagree with that. I think you're a good
person. I'm not perfect, as you can hear, and I'm always honest with you guys, but I'm a good person. If you needed help with something, I would help you.
Except on Sundays. Yeah, we know.
Right, but that's right.
You laid it out.
But you know.
No, I know. And that's, listen, transparency. That's all I ask for. Just be honest with me. What people need to understand, though, too, is during the breaks, what Dave likes to do is quiz RJ and Santi on where certain people went to
college.
Well,
because they brought up the new Kurt Warner movie.
Just to show off the fact that he knows every single player's.
And tell me you're not impressed.
No, I am. But it's almost at this point. It's just maybe too much.
They brought up the new Kurt Warner movie. And then we got into Kurt Warner. And I said, where'd he go to college? And Raymond got it right, Northern Iowa. And then I said he replaced Trent Green, who injured his knee. Where'd he go to school? And they didn't know that one. So I filled them in. But now they know.
Now they know.
Now they know.
And knowing is half the battle.
That's right. And that is part of man camp. Will in the car. Will, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, boys. How's it going? I'm
going
a big Yankee fan. I'm all right. They just dig such a big hole for themselves, like you said, Dave. I just don't see them doing this. Even if they go 6-3, maybe. Who knows? It's been, despite all the nonsense they've went through the season, they have a chance to still win 90-plus games, and I'm happy with that.
No,
that's
you're not.
One. Number two.
No, you're lying to yourself. You are lying.
No, I'm not.
Will, you are lying to yourself, Will.
I am not.
You are a big liar, Will. You are. Come
not.
On, stop
I'm
it.
I'm not taking that from you.
Oh, you're
no
a
way.
Big, you know what? You
no
are. You are. I just
I
said I don't
a
live
liar.
A lie. Will, you're living a lie. You are.
No,
Will,
I'm not.
I live a lie.
No,
if the
I'm
Yankees
not.
Win 92 games,
liar,
Will, it's and don't make the playoffs, it's a failed season.
No, no. Not. I don't see it that way. I'm not that type of guy when it comes to teams that I root for. Okay? I'm as maniacal a fan as you are. All right? But I don't see it that way, number one. Number two, my wife wants to be a counselor at man camp. And number three, number one man phrase, a man's got to know his limitations. The outlaw Josie Wales. Use that for your phrase at man camp. Calling
first
me a liar.
Why are you yelling at me for?
I better not see you in the street, David.
Why are you yelling
at me? I better not see you in the street, David. I better not see you in the street. I will walk up to you and punch you in the mush. Calling me a liar on national radio. You,
Will. Will! What's he screaming about? He's a liar. Stop it. Come on.
I better not see you on the street, David.
Take a side there. I mean, God forbid you leave me out to dry. Take a side.
I'm on Will's side.
No, you're not.
That's a real fan.
No, that's not.
This is a guy that's rooting against his team against the Red Sox.
If the Yankees win 92 games and miss out on the postseason, he will sit back and reflect and say, you know what? This was a really good year.
No, he'll be miserable.
No, that is a horrendous take by him. You'd rather win 83 games and get in than win 93 games and miss out. Stop it.
You'd rather be the New York Liberty right now. Who have the worst record in the history of the WNBA to qualify for the playoffs.
Who cares? I better not see you in the street.
Oh, that's such a good drop right there.
Right, so he's going to attack me in the street?
I would.
Great.
Call him a liar like that?
He's a liar.
And his wife, don't bury the lead, too. His wife wants to be a counselor at the
Yeah, that's Yankee. What we want. We want this guy's wife, who's obviously unstable, to be a counselor at band camp.
I will walk up to you and punch you in the mush.
Right in the mush. Maybe he teaches you how to fight at man camp.
Are we going to have violence at man camp, though?
Of course.
You know what? Maybe we'll get one of the Gracie brothers to
like
kind of teach
club.
some jiu-jitsu kind of stuff.
We'll have a fight club at man camp.
No. We're not promoting
why
fighting.
Can't we
we're
have
promoting
a fight
self-defense.
Camp?
No.
You know how many callers would like to fight Santiago right now?
But we're not. Well, Santiago, I don't think he needs man camp. He fixed
the
toilet by himself
yesterday.
He fixed
one toilet.
So?
I better not see you in the street.
He needs manners camp is what he needs. Very nasty.
I'm probably well past saving at that point.
No. See, you will send anybody down the river. I defend Santiago. He's part of our team. He's a great guy. And he's having a tough couple of days. You don't move on from him. You help him.
No, we're trying to help him. I don't know how it gets any better with him. That's what I'm scared about. I don't know how this gets better.
I think if the Cowboys have a good season, he starts to come out of it a little
bit. Yeah, but you'd think, they go toe-to-toe with Tampa. Then they, ravaged with injuries, they go into L.A. and beat the Chargers. Micah Parsons on the edge looks like, I mean, he maybe he sticks at DN. All good things. Defense is better than he thought. You'd think no hockey, no basketball yet. This should be the height of Ray Santiago being in a good mood.
Yeah, why are you in a bad mood every day when your Cowboys had a good of a start as you could possibly hope for to the season?
I don't think I've been in a bad mood.
You threatened to punch Cousin Lonnie.
Yeah, I think I've just been quick to anger lately, but that doesn't necessarily mean I'm in a bad mood.
Wait, quick to anger would almost define being in a bad way, no?
Not necessarily. Would you say I'm in a bad mood right now?
No, I don't think today you're in a bad mood. I think you've snapped out of it today.
I think you need to go home and watch a little Adam Sandler, Jack Nicholson.
Anger management?
Yeah.
It's a good movie.
Do a couple of Bruce Fallas.
Yeah, I feel pretty. Oh, so pretty.
Let's go to Frank. Frank in the Bronx. Good morning, Frank. You're next up.
Hey, how you doing? Dave, good. You're out of your mind, just for the record.
How?
I think if you roll back that tape with Will, you're going to realize that you started the yelling and he took it to a different level, but you both were insane. I better not see you in the street!
I yelled at him because his take was so horrendous, but then he's yelling like, and my wife will be a counselor at man camp. Like, he's yelling about things that had no right to be.
I'll walk up to you and punch you in the mush! Well, let me just tell you that I enjoy you guys. It's awesome. It's the best radio show I've listened to. But I have to tell you, as a Yankee fan, I'm realistic. If they're not going to win the playoff, if they're not going to win the World Series, why do I need them to make the last wild card and win? I
kind of
agree with Will at this point.
No, come on, Frank. You never know.
For the last 3 years. The last 3 years we've seen this play. No consistent pitching, poor fielding, terrible base running, no situational hitting, and we're out. So I don't care how close we got in the last 3 years. We can't win with the formula that's on the field. And that's just a realistic Yankee fan telling you, like, keep it. I don't need it. We do the team. I'm at that point. Oh, I think a lot of Yankee fans are at that point.
Yeah, you know, Frank, you never know, though, Frank, right? Like, you never know. Get yourself in the tournament. You never know what's going to happen. I mean, you're
hoping
that
you'll address some of those.
But here's the thing, though. Frank, how did you feel? It wasn't long ago, right? I mean, how did you feel when this team won 13 straight? Because every Yankees fan I talked to thought that this was... How did you feel when they won 13 in a row?
I felt fantastic, but I'll tell you this much. I knew that they were not going to continue that. So I didn't know how bad it was going to get.
Yeah, of course they were going to go undefeated the rest of the season.
Yeah, right. I get that. But, you know...
Yeah, but this is the same team, though. Frank, here's the thing, though. Frank, this is why you can't quit on this team. It's because you've seen this all season long, and they've lost to some bad teams, and they've beaten some good teams. But they're streaky. And maybe this is a year where, I mean, they've disappointed up to this point, but they hit their stride at the right time. I mean, this is a team that went 35-11. That's not a
There's
small
no way
sample
that you
size.
Could be a legitimate Yankees fan and say, I know we won't win, so I don't want to get in. That is just not something I can accept. It's just not. Because as a Mets fan, I would do anything for my team to have a chance, and they don't, and the Yankees are right there. They're right there. They're
a good nine-game stretch from getting in. Fandom. I don't think you're in any position to be judging people's fandom after the last couple days.
Listen, I can do almost nothing. We've defined that. We need a man camp just to make me into a semblance of a man. I can define fandom better than anyone out there. Better than anybody out there. And do not question my fandom or anybody around me, the fandom. No. You're a Johnny come lately. You acquired your teams in your 20s, so don't you question me.
Here's the thing, though, too. If you're
I had a pacifier in my mouth. I'm rooting for the Giants.
You're an idiot. Here's the thing as a Yankees fan, though. why I can't agree with that take either is if they do, I mean, just think about this. We talked about it. 9 games left. You feel like they got to go 7-2 to get into the wild card.
Yes.
So they just swept the Rangers, right? So now all of a sudden you go 7-2 plus those three. I mean, now you're talking about a 10-2 run into the playoffs. At that point, how do you not like their chances to potentially make a run?
Just get in. Again, I don't think they go on a run. I think he's right, but I could never root for them not
to
have that opportunity.
But you don't know.
Of course I don't know. I don't know anything.
Like, the bullpen looks like it's short up.
Yep. Now you got Severino King there.
Dave,
Chapman looks better. Absolutely.
I'm telling you right now, you find a way against the Red Sox, the Jays, and the Rays to go 7-2 and get yourself into the postseason, Yankees fans will be singing a whole different tune.
Yep.
Whole different tune.
They sure will.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.